The Reilly Planning Commission regular meeting is now in session on this day, Thursday, May 17, 2018, and approximately 5:00 PM. Commissioner Custodio, would you lead us in a flag salute, please?
Please stand. Face the flag. Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, yeah, the roll call, please.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Here.
Commissioner Bissett? Chair, Commissioner Bissett is excused. Commissioner Custodio?
Here.
Commissioner Hudson? Chair, Commissioner Hudson is excused. And Chair Perez?
Here. Okay, public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the commission's jurisdiction, which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the commission not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the Community Development Director's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the commission as each item is brought up for discussion. Any public comment? Having none, we'll close the public comments. Under the consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any commissioner may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action. And the commission can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. I have a motion for on the consent agenda, please.
So we actually do, yeah, we have two items today.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, the minutes of the regular meeting and then an update to the city's bicycle master plan.
Right.
If you want to talk about either of those, you can pull the item or we can just approve them without discussing them. It's up to the commission.
As it was stated above, yeah.
I'm good. We can.
Okay, can I have a motion then?
Sure, a motion.
Okay.
Second.
Custodio?
I said second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh. Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. So we'll go on to item number 3. Consider of annexation application number 2017-2, pre-zone application number 2017-2, and site plan review application number 2017-3. Through resolution 2018-5, staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action. A, recommend to the City Council adoption of the mitigated negative declaration dated April 26, 2018, prepared for annexation application number 2017-2, pre-zone application number 2017-2, and a site plan review application number 2017-3. B, recommend to the City Council approval of annexation application number 2017-2, which proposes to annex the subject territory 19.076 gross acres into the City of Reilly and detaching from the County of Fresno the Fresno County Fire Protection District and the Kings River Conservation District. C, recommend to the City Council approval of pre-zone application number 2017-2, which proposes to pre-zone a 19.076 gross acre parcel to the Central and Community Commercial Zone District designation in preparation for annexation consistent with the Reilly 2030 General Plan. D, recommend to the City Council approval of site plan review application number 2017-3, which proposes to master plan approximately 19.076 gross acres of commercially designated land. E, recommend that the City Council of the City of Reilly submit a reorganization application to the Fresno Local Agency Formation Commission. With that, I'll turn it over to staff.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Planning Commission, and I apologize you had to read all of that, but that is all that we are considering this evening. The subject property is located in the northeast section of Reedley. It's on the northeast corner of Manning Avenue and South Button Willow Avenue. As mentioned, it's 19.076 gross acres, and currently it's vacant and agricultural land. There used to be some structures and a house on the lower left-hand corner of the property, right on the corner, but that's been demolished. I think it's been at least a year since that has happened, so no, there's no structures on the property, and no one lives on the property at this time, so it is just vacant and agricultural land. And to the west, you see the existing shopping center where Save Mart is. To the south, you have Thiele Technology, which is a light industrial use, as well as Rite Aid on the corner, and further commercial uses all along Manning with residential behind it on the north side and the south side. The general plan, as far as the general plan goes, this property is within our sphere of influence, and our sphere of influence is essentially where we anticipate growth occurring within the general plan planning horizon, which is till 2030. It's unlikely that we will get all the way to the sphere of influence, but there we do anticipate some development, including this one. This is designated as community commercial in the general plan. And as you can see, there are similar designations along Manning, which makes sense because Manning Avenue is a highly traveled area, so it's a good spot for commercial uses. So this proposed project is consistent with this general plan land use. As far as the annexation application goes, the project is proposing to be annexed into the city of Reedley and actually detaching from other special districts in the area, including Fresno County, the County of Fresno Fire Protection District, and the Kings River Conservation District. So that means that the property will be in our jurisdiction. We will provide services, water, sewer, storm drain facilities. We will provide police protection, fire protection, all of those things. Right now, all of that is through the County of Fresno, but once annexed in, those services will transition over to us. When submitting an annexation application, we have to make sure that everything is consistent with our general plan, as previously mentioned. The other thing to look at is that an application does have to be submitted to the local agency formation commission. They have the final say in whether property can be annexed into the city because they oversee boundary changes for all special districts. So what they go by is they go by the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Local Government Reorganization Act. And the main goals of that act is to discourage urban sprawl, encourage orderly governmental boundaries, and to preserve open space and prime agricultural lands. So going back to the annexation, the property is shaded in gray on the map to the right. But as you can see, it is surrounded on two sides by urban development, and it is directly adjacent to the city limits on two sides. So this would be considered orderly growth, and it's a logical expansion of the city. And in addition to that, the city is built out, or we are almost built out for all commercial and residential land. So historically, Reedley has been very conservative in their growth. There were a lot of houses built and annexations done in the 2000s, but since the 70s, there has not been that much expansion. So Reedley is very conservative in their growth, and we further do that and achieve that by not annexing in more land until we are almost at full build out within city limits. So, and while the property does include ag land on it, this is helping to preserve it in other areas because we are promoting orderly growth. So instead of having the commercial center develop and, you know, in right in the middle of farmland or something like that, which does kind of deteriorate the use in another area, because this is occurring next to the city limits, it's logical progression. So it's preserving the agricultural land elsewhere.
Another thing to look at is the memorandum of understanding between the County of Fresno and the City of Reedley. The county does have a MOU with every city within their county jurisdiction, within their border, I should say, about how annexations should proceed. And so all of the above applies to this, but what is also required is imminent development. And what that means is that there has to be an approved site plan on the property or a tract map or something like that. So we have to show that there will be development on the property. We can't just annex in vacant land with no plan for it. So that's why we have the site plan review application before you and the pre-zoning application. And speaking of which, the assigned or the proposed zoning is CC, which is central and community commercial. All of the potential and proposed uses for this property is consistent with this zone district, which provides a wide variety of commercial and office uses. And this is consistent with the general plan land use consistency matrix. Going to the site plan review application itself, this is the master planning of about 19 acres. The first phase is about 20,000 square feet of a single-story medical clinic. The next phase is about 80,600 square feet of commercial uses and about 17,000 square feet of residential commercial mixed-use development. And this is the site plan before you. With landscaping and parking and everything and the potential building situation. So it is somewhat of a shopping center. And then as you can see with phase one outlined, that's where the medical clinic will be located. A few conditions of approval to note for the entire plan is that any new construction within the project area will need to be reviewed for substantial conformance. So because this is anticipated to be in phases, whoever comes in would submit a site plan to us and we would make sure that it looks similar to what was proposed. Not only that, but in terms of the commercial uses that are proposed. So if the building moves 5 feet, that's not a big deal. You know, if it's generally the same, the intent is the same, then they can go forward with straight to building permits. To save some time in that regard. The other condition of approval to note is that the streets Manning and Button Willow will be constructed to in full. So the other half that is in the county now will actually become major arterial streets. So those will be constructed, but something to note, because that's one of the first things that you'll notice besides new buildings, of course, is that the streets will be constructed within each phase of the development. So, for example, when the health clinic comes in, that corner within the limits of their development will have the street fully constructed. So the street both streets won't be fully constructed all at one time. It will be phased depending on when the next development comes in. But it is important to do this as each phase comes in to make circulation better for the proposed buildings. And this is a sneak peek of the site plan for the medical clinic. It will be a United Health Centers clinic. So this is the site plan proposed for that. The colors are blending together a little bit, and I apologize, but it looked better than when it was just a white site plan, so you can kind of make out where the landscaping is, where the parking is, driveways, and there are two driveway approaches proposed on Button Willow and Manning as well. Moving on to the environmental assessment, staff prepared an Appendix G checklist in accordance with CEQA guidelines. We found that the project was a subsequent project outside of the scope of the General Plan Program EIR. So the City of Reedley as a lead agency prepared a mitigated negative declaration for the project and proposes to adopt that. The mitigation measures that were included were related to air quality and transportation. There was an air quality and greenhouse gas study done, as well as a traffic impact study that was done that was attached to the document, and just provided mitigation measures for both to make sure that the project had a less than significant effect on the environment. A lot of the air quality mitigation measures would be dealt primarily with between the applicant or the developer whenever the certain phases come in, and the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District. The Air District does require certain permits and authority to construct, so those things would be dealt with through the Air District to help with those impacts. And the transportation items are related to widening of streets, both where the project is and then in other spots, and those have been phased as well, and that is identified in the mitigated negative declaration. The notice of intent to adopt a finding of a mitigated negative declaration was appropriately filed and noticed on April 26th of 2018. There's a 20-day comment period that is required, so the deadline for that was 5 p.m. on May 16th, which was yesterday. Staff received one comment letter from the Local Agency Formation Commission, aka LAFCO. They're a responsible agency under CEQA because they will also be taking action on the annexation. So they they look at the CEQA document that the lead agency prepared, and they can also use it for their review and adoption. So they had provided some comments that just expanded and clarified a little bit on what an annexation actually is, and that does include detaching from other districts. So that was just a clarification item that was added and also expanded a little bit upon LAFCO as a responsible agency. So staff did incorporate those comments into the checklist, and staff determined that the changes do not change the overall impacts that were assessed in the environmental review. So it didn't add any substantial impacts just because we changed the project description to clarify those things. So just wanted to note that. And as of this time, we didn't receive any other comments, either written or verbal. We still have the public hearing this evening, but as of now, we haven't received any comments. In addition to the noticing required for the environmental, there was a public notice that was published in the Readley Exponent on May 3rd, and notices were sent to the surrounding property owners on that same day to fulfill the 10-day noticing requirement for the items before you this evening. With that, as Chair Perez had mentioned at the beginning, staff's recommendation is to recommend to the City Council adoption of the Environmental Assessment 2017-7. Recommend to the City Council approval of Annexation Application Number 2017-2. Recommend to the City Council approval of Pre-Zone Application Number 2017-2. Recommend to the City Council approval of Site Plan Review Application Number 2017-3. And finally, recommend that the City Council of the City of Readley submit a reorganization application, also referred to as an annexation application, to the Fresno LAFCO. So that is all that I have for the staff report. I did just want to say that we do have representatives from United Health Centers here, and we're excited about this project, and we look forward to working with them through the construction process, and thank them for being here. They're available for questions if you have any for them, and also I'm available for questions too. Thank you.
Commissioners, questions, comments, concerns?
Well, thank you, Ellen. My questions were going to be about the expansion and improvements that intersection would need to accommodate the development. So I guess I'm going to lead it to you. I know that intersection is, you know, a busy intersection, I guess, coming into town. So the plan would be to upgrade lighting, upgrade things of that nature to accommodate, especially on Buttonwillow going north on Buttonwillow, if there's going to be a driveway to go into the property. Is there mm-hmm. going to be something of a turn lane of, you know, because right now we have issues going into the other part, shopping center mm-hmm. without a designated left turn. Is there anything that you can provide regarding, you know, traffic flow improvement there? Because that would be something that I would be interested in if it's
sure.
part of this project.
Absolutely. So the project itself, as mentioned, the roads will be widened so that there are room for turn pockets. On Button Willow Avenue, there will be a striped median there so that there will be opportunities to turn left into the project driveway itself. And then on Manning, there will actually be a raised concrete median
okay.
with a designated left turn lane into the project driveway as well. And then if you're going west from Manning, there will be a right turn pocket that will be added to the intersection.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can turn right to go north on Button Willow. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So by that, are you saying there's one through lane and then one turn lane?
On Manning,
it's
yes.
one and one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On Manning, yeah.
The reason I ask that is because years ago when we bought a business on Manning,
mm-hmm.
they talked about it widening out to three lane. So
mm-hmm.
I wondered if through this project we were going to start some of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something we were told by family that owned that some property over there.
Sure. Yeah. There are plans to widen Manning going west of Button Willow, kind of where that area is. The challenges there are right of way acquisition and that sort of thing. So because there isn't any development north of Manning, east of Button Willow,
right.
where this starting where this mm-hmm. project is, and then going out towards the city limits, there's a better opportunity for the road to be widened there. So that is the plan, at least as part of this project, is to widen Manning so that there's a right turn pocket and a through lane going through.
And same thing about Button Willow, because I'm more concerned about Button Willow going north and south,
mm-hmm.
going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
that would be taken care of, at least for the turn. You said there's going to be a turn pocket into the property while you're going north on Button Willow after we be, okay.
Mm-hmm, correct, yeah.
Because there's always a jam right there.
Mm-hmm.
Going left,
mm-hmm.
left.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And is the city going to incur the cost of all this improvement, or is this part of the project?
This is part of the project.
Okay. Developers will take care of that?
Correct, yeah. So, yeah, and then as each phase comes in, future developers are responsible for their portion of it, and UHC is responsible for their portion as well.
Okay, and amongst all this information, police, fire, all that, they approved on this. They
mm-hmm.
checked off and okay.
Correct. Yes.
I think if I could,
sure.
Ellen, if you look at the conditions of approval, which is near the very end of that packet there, on page 4 of 6, under streets, condition number 21 points directly, Commissioner Castillo, to what you're asking about, where it states that Button Willow Avenue will be constructed to a major arterial 4-lane divided cross section. For what the city standard is right now, so that should definitely address the circulation question that you had.
Okay. Thank you.
Along with some of those questions, you know how it's not just the traffic flow on Button Willow that's difficult; it's the vehicles that park on the side. Will that change, so that
mm-hmm.
your ability to see a little bit further with movement going from right and left at the same time, as well as north and south, that it will be a little bit more open? I don't know if other people notice that, but I live on that side over by Citizens Park, so I notice that when you come up there, that right now we don't have anything on that corner, but once that develops, we have that lessening of your ability to view very, very far down there, like to Parlier Avenue, let's say.
Mm.
Will that... the options change there to where people cannot utilize that, even where Workforce Connection is, people park alongside there. And there's just no vision, there's none.
Right, if I remember correctly, I think our standard does have parking on it, but I might have to double
check
that.
Still on Button Willow section?
Yeah,
okay.
On Button Willow, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they obviously can't park near the intersections or where
right.
the turn lanes are. But I think we do have parking, if I remember correctly.
Well, I think the biggest problem was that you have less view and people coming from the country are coming quick.
Right, that's true.
Because out there, that's how they drive.
Yeah, I believe the arterial designation right now for the standard that's called out here actually has parking and then a bikeway. And then single lane.
Okay. And in the, and the parking, I mean, for the clinic, it looks like there's sufficient. Is there more than what is required, or was it just above? I mean, just at the standard or limit?
Yeah, there was more than required there, so they do exceed that. Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's what's being used and not on the street.
Right. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, it is street parking, so you can park wherever you want. If there are line of sight issues down the line, or if we notice a lot of people do park on the street, an option could be to stripe the curbs red or something like that, so that people aren't parking where there's line of sight issues. Okay. But if you go further up north on Button Willow, we wouldn't be able to do that.
Okay.
There probably won't be line of sight issues because of the turn pockets and everything, but that's a possibility once we figure out what the pattern of parking is.
I'm not sure of the function that these people, as I'm coming out of the grocery store, that they're holding, but a lot of times they'll be leaving Workforce Connection with their briefcase with a couple boxes, and they're parked right there. And honestly, as there's all that movement, you really aren't seeing what you really need to see, but you know, with it being a little bit wider, that may take care of the problem right there.
Yeah. And so the clinic, I guess this is for the developers, like, the clinic is pretty much, that's what's going to be going on phase one. Is the clinic going to possibly look like the one in Parlier, or is that like a standard design that,
That would be a question for UHC. At this point, there hasn't been an application submitted for the site plan review, so we haven't seen elevations. But if Justin is interested in disclosing that now, he sure can.
Awesome.
I'll turn it over.
I'm just trying to get everyone work, so they can get on the mic.
No, so my name's Justin Priest. I'm the deputy CEO at the United Health Centers, and I couldn't let Ellen just take all the questions I expected there'd be a few more people in the crowd tonight, but we're very happy to be here, and we really appreciate the opportunity to really grow. We've been serving Reedley for a long time, whether we were officially here or not. We opened the small office there in the shopping center by Save Mart a couple of years ago, and we've just exceeded our capacity, and so we're very excited. But the answer to your question about what it's going to look like is we're working on the overall design of the building right now. We're very close.
Okay.
If you're thinking about the newer administrative building that we have there on Manning,
right?
I think it will be something very modern and similar to that, but even a lot nicer. I think that you will all be very, very proud of the building that we put up there. And so we're just, but I think that we have at the main entrance, we're trying to kind of keep that theme where we have that tall, and a lot of glass at the front entryway. Right. We do have some stone that's being incorporated. We are looking at some kind of a water feature out front that would be very attractive, very nice landscaping. The parking, we did add the additional row of parking after we kind of looked at the site plan on here. I don't know if you have a copy of the actual site plan, but we did add an additional area of parking. So we are, I believe we are overparked for what we would really ever need. That additional on the right, I guess it's on the east side there. We added that after we really looked at the site plan because we wanted to have plenty of parking. We don't want anybody parking on the street. We want people utilizing our parking. So we really envision that back area there on the, I guess that'd be the north side, is probably where the majority of our staff will park. Mm-hmm. And then on the east side would be majority, really would, and the front side there where the handicap parking is would be patient parking. We have a drop-off area up there for our patient transportation van. So if we have 19 acres and we can't put in enough parking, we have a problem. So we want to make sure that we have plenty of parking from day one.
Yeah, one more question. I know that the whole area, you guys bought the whole area. This is phase one. Is there any consideration or any, has there been any interest in the commercial aspect of that? Is there any tenants or anything that, I guess you can't really say, but anyone that's been interested or, you know, about coming regarding the commercial aspect?
I get a phone call about every other day about the rest of the property. Yeah, okay. A lot of interest. But we're not sure what we exactly want to do. You know, we want to make sure that we don't sell ourselves short for the future, right, and make a hasty decision. We're in really no hurry to do anything real hasty. We want to see whatever goes in there to be very nice and very well developed, very orderly, and really work closely with the city to really have a good plan there. So we have a lot of interest. I feel very fortunate, very lucky that we were able to get that property. I'll be really honest. In all honesty, we obviously did not need 19 acres. We're not land developers. We run health centers, and that's what, you know, we do. But the owner of the property wanted to sell the 19 acres. That's how they wanted to do it. And it was actually cheaper to buy the 19 acres than it was to buy 4 acres. And so we're very excited for the future there and the next phases that could come in there. But we're still working out the plan on that would be. Right now, just getting a 20,000 square foot building built is like a full-time job with this. So, yeah. Thank you. I think you'll be very proud of the building once it's done. It's really going to be, I think, really beautiful for the community. Something very nice.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
Oh. Dawn jumped right in the midst of it, so yeah, I'm good. Your turn, Pete.
All right. Can you explain the scope of work that you folks will be doing?
Sure. So we are a community health center. So our main points of service are primary medical care, dental, optometry, chiropractic care. We will have a pharmacy in here, behavioral health services. We will have a lab. We'll have X-ray. So, and then supportive services like enrollment services into Medi-Cal or healthcare plans, transportation, so free transportation to and from appointments. And what we do for the community is we're a safety net for the community. We're here to take care of everybody regardless if they can pay or not. And for the residents of the community that don't have insurance or uninsured, we have a very low, what we call a sliding fee scale, where they pay a very small amount of money based on their income and family size. So we don't turn anybody away. We take care of everybody when they walk in the door. Another big part of what we do is walk-in care or urgent care. So if anybody walks in, they don't have to have an appointment. They're going to get seen, and we have accessible hours for patients. And that varies from site to site based on demand. Right now in Reedley, we are open until we're open late on Mondays. We are expanding our hours a little bit more in Reedley to Wednesdays being open until about 8 o'clock at night. Our Parlier Health Center is open on Saturdays right now. But one of the biggest services, largest services we're putting right now in is more urgent care services, where we can be open and accessible 7 days a week until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And so, you know, our goal is to be available to the community.
Well, you've answered two of the questions that I had for you, the specific economic strata, who you would be serving, who your target clientele would be, and then, of course, the hours. What about employment?
deployment? That's a very good question. So we anticipate somewhere around 60, about 60 employees when we're at full, by the time we get to full capacity, possibly more. This is one going to be one of our largest, if not largest, health center. Parlier, which is one of our busiest locations, is about the clinic, between the clinic and the dental clinic, it's about 20,000 square feet. This will be about 20,000 square feet. And we have, I don't know, 60 to 65 employees. And that's from, janitors to physicians. So you have everything from very entry level, clerical, medical assistants, physicians, physician assistants, nurse practitioners, dentists, dental assistants, everything. So I think it's a very good thing for the city of Reedley, because we're going to also be employing a lot of people that will the city will, you know, benefit from having in the community, many of whom make a very good salary, and hopefully will want to live here too.
So how will you complement our local hospital?
Well, we already work very closely with I still want to call them Sarah Kings, I'm sorry, with Adventist. We work very closely with them already. They first of all, for the obstetric services and deliveries, they deliver all of our babies from our pregnant moms in the surrounding areas. So mostly from our health centers in Parlier, Orange Cove, and mainly those two health centers that we serve. And then also for some of the specialty care services. So we work very closely with them on that. And then they will see a lot of our patients when they're in the health center and then discharge them, or when they're in the hospital and then discharge them back to us for their primary care needs. So it's a very interesting relationship. We partner with Adventist, but we're also competing with them quite often, because they do have their own primary care clinics out in the community. Competition's good, though. There's nothing wrong with it. It makes us all better, and sometimes it's not easy to collaborate and also compete, but we manage it, and there are plenty of people that need to be served, whether they are low income, don't have jobs, don't have insurance, or people that have insurance and want to be taken care of. So there's plenty of people to take care of in the community.
Yeah, you're quite broad in the breadth of service that you'll be enhancing the community with. But so we hope we're going to find some good professionals down
yes.
there. You're almost have to have those professionals down there, doctor specialists and so on,
mm-hmm.
For all the categories that you're going to be serving the community with.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to tell us that we haven't asked that we should know?
I don't think so. I think the main thing I want to say is, you know, we have had an extensive amount of growth in the Valley over the last 7 or 8 years, as many health centers have. And I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of different communities, but I can tell you, between Rob and Ellen, I just, you know, want to really tell the commission they've been a pleasure to work with and made this as easy as possible. The county is a little different as far as the experience. It's taken a little while to get through everything, but Rob and Ellen have been on top of it and extremely organized and keep everything moving, and we do appreciate it, and I feel like we're very lucky to be able to work with them. So
thank you very much. You have another associate with you. Does he want to say anything?
So this is the guy that'll be out here. So this is Bobby Burgess. Bobby is our we have so many projects going on internally. He's our in-house construction and renovation, you know, manager. Handles all of our projects in house. He's not with the general contractor, although he did used to be with one of the general contractors we work with, and we kind of stole him away.
It's called recruiting.
Recruiting, that's right. That's right. But so Bobby will be the out here working directly with the general contractor and the different specialties and trades that'll be out here working. The architect and general contractor, their design build company, the Needing Company, they actually built our Parlier building, the administrative building. They built our health center in Mendota also. So they have a lot of experience in building health centers, and they're very thorough, very they're really on top of things, and I think that they'll build a really nice building here.
So Bobby, when can we expect start and finish?
That was my question. Timeline.
So right now, what's your vision on timeline?
Ideally.
You know, I just kind of just started dabbling into this project, so I haven't really had enough time to sit down and actually review it and get a finished date on that.
Yesterday would have been the hope.
Yeah.
With development, that's always
the hope. I think the last that we were talking was at earliest would be October. Sometime between October and June, we hope. Everything to be annexed, and we're trying to get permits are kind of going concurrently with everything. So between October and January is hopefully when we could break ground. We're ready to start right now. And then I guess probably 10 months of construction, something like that, right, is what you would probably expect. Yeah. Yeah. So we would really hope to be in the building by the end of 2019. Awesome. Hopefully sooner. Very good. Yeah, hopefully even sooner. We are at max capacity in the little 3,500 square feet that we have in the corner there. Parking is it's tough in there for parking. Mm-hmm. It's a very busy shopping center. We're excited to be very close to there and be across the street. And I'll tell you how I found that property is I was at our little clinic here taking care of something. I'm sitting in Taco Bell eating lunch. I looked across the street and I go, that would be a really nice place to have a health center. And then I saw the for sale sign. So then I called our broker that we use, and he's like, yeah, it's available. So I don't know, somehow it just worked out. I had a soft taco and found 19 acres.
Don't forget to send Taco Bell a finder's fee.
That's right. That's right. I will. I'll send them something.
That's the magic of Taco Bell.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you for having us, and we're really excited, and we just really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Okay, if there's no other questions for the principals here, we'll open that to a public comment. Anybody has any public comment to make? Mm-hmm. And if not, we'll close the public comment session. And commissioners, I ask you for your wishes.
Well, let's vote on this.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
I have a second.
I'll second, definitely.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. Welcome to Reedley.
Thank you.
We're very excited.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We're very excited to.
Remember, this was recorded, so modern, glass, nice design.
We have some preliminary renderings.
It's just, it's a prime, actually, corner. Since I've been here, I'm like, I think that, maybe this, maybe it's just so, it's really, expectations are high.
I started getting calls on it before we even closed escrow.
Oh, there you go.
It's a very, very popular, I feel very fortunate, very, very fortunate.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and thank good luck to you folks.
Yeah, you guys can stay, but.
Okay, so with that business taken care of, director's report.
Yeah, just wanted to give you guys some updates on several of the projects that we have going on here through town. first, to let you know, Sun Pacific expansion that was recently approved there through the conditional use permit. They are working their way through their plans and permitting there. So you're starting to see some dirt turn, but they're not building anything just yet.
What are you talking about? I'm sorry?
Sun Pacific, the former Edo packing on
Okay. Sun Pacific.
Sun Pacific.
At least it's South Pacific. I'm like,
I'm missing it.
Yeah. No, South Pacific. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so they are, like I said, starting to turn some dirt there, but have not gotten their building permits as of yet and are still working through all of their final plans there and the plan check and everything they need to go through. Elvia Apartments down on Dinuba and Hemlock, they have recently submitted their final plans there as well, and they're working their way through through that process to get into their permitting. Mm-hmm. Same thing for Almond Grove, and both of those are Yanez Construction, right. So they've done that as well.
Almond Grove is the one on Frankwood, is that correct?
Frankwood and Olson.
In Olson.
Yep. Okay. So the 45 single-family units there. This is the largest residential development that they've ever undertaken. So the first final map that they submitted needed some work in order to make sure that it was going to have all the appropriate information and material within it. So we're working with them to get those items scrubbed out. But they're moving forward, and they're always very good to work with. We are continually working on the municipal service review for our entire planning area. That's something that Fresno LAFCO requires for us to do any type of expansion to our sphere of influence area, which means that if there is any type of annexation activity that looks to go in our current planning boundary but outside of the current sphere of influence, we have to have this documentation ready to be able to show to them. It used to be that this was about a 12 to 15 page document. It's now, I want to say at last count, 500 something pages. Is that about right? Is that what we thought? Yeah, when it's done. So significantly deeper analysis than it had been in the past. So it takes a lot more work, a lot more time to go through it. I had heard a consultant refer to it in the last couple of weeks as a mini general plan, and I thought that was
I'll quit complaining about our book that Ellen delivered to my house. She delivered it to my house, and I was very appreciative, but I went, oh my gosh. So I'll quit complaining about that.
I promise you, it could be a lot worse. Yeah, it absolutely could.
Gosh.
As we're working our way through that, if you guys do have any questions about what that process is, anything that deals with annexation can be very confusing, and I refer to it a lot as a marathon with a bunch of hurdles along the way, right? So if you ever have any questions about how that's going or what it takes to get there, what we're currently working on, please feel free to ask us, because it's a long process. In July, we will be officially kicking off our ag mitigation efforts. If you recall, we were successful in receiving a $100,000 grant from the state, from the Department of Conservation, through their Sustainable Agricultural Land Conservation Program, and that is to implement part of the general plan mitigation or implementation strategies, where we had stated that we would have a citywide ag mitigation policy. So when someone comes in for development, we actually have very specific criteria for mitigating any loss to agricultural lands, how that would deal with. And that's part of the commitment that we made in our general plan update and was identified in the environmental impact report for the general plan. So you guys will definitely be hearing about that. We also have a developer that has been in to talk to us now. They have not submitted an official map at this point, so I don't want to give a whole lot of information, but another development on the east side of town off of Button Willow Avenue, I think it's going to be something that the commission and the council will be very happy to see. The preliminary items that they brought in are very, very good, and a developer who is very adept at making sure that they are building something that fits well into that community. They're due diligence. Right now, they would be looking, I believe, 92 in phase one. Is that right? 92 or 93 lots, all ranging just over 6,000 square feet all the way up to just under 12,000 square feet. So good mix. The majority of them are in between the 6 and 7,500 mark. It looks like it's going to be something that will be very good for entry and mid-level housing, and I think it's going to fit very, very well into that area. If they continue to move forward the way that they're looking to, it will actually end up being two phases, and they will almost be mirror images of one another, so it could end up being close to 200 total lots there. But hopefully in the very near future, we'll have much more information for you guys on that. We'll wait for the official submittal.
Especially with the expansion of our sports complex to come, I sure like to see a hotel in the corner of Buttonwillow and Dinuba.
We lobby for that all the time, I can promise you. We're constantly out there trying to attract major hotel chains to come to the area. It's a tough fight, you know.
Sure.
The majority of them will just simply say, okay, well, what state route are you off of, right?
Of course, and yeah. Since we can't...
That's it. Yeah. So it is challenging. However, I think that we have... I know with the EDC representative that we work with, there has been much more concentrated effort in the last year to really market Reedley. Reedley has so many great things to offer. It's really a hidden gem. And the more people that are starting to kind of put that together and starting to understand, they're now calling us instead of us having to call them slowly. It's a very slow evolution, but it's a good thing. We're excited to see that. Also wanted to let you guys know, last year we had brought before the Planning Commission discussions about carports, and had gotten some very clear feedback from the Planning Commission on what you guys would prefer to see and not see in the city. In the last few months, as code enforcement has continued to work on the various issues around town, one of them being some of the carports from neighbors that were calling and had concerns with something in their neighborhood. As they were addressing these items, it got brought up to City Council, and a couple of the people that were being approached by code enforcement wanted to speak directly to City Council about that. And so in the last 2 months or so, it's been an ongoing conversation and council.
Robert, are these people that received letters from you and thought, well, wait a minute, I have something to say?
Yes.
Is that kind of a,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so code enforcement had actually, they sent out 22 letters to property owners that had a carport that were in violation of the municipal standards right now. A handful of them had concerns with those needing to be adjusted and or removed, and had approached some council members. And so council, of course, had requested the item come to them from staff with some explanation. So we gave them the history, everything that's in the municipal code, what it means, what it doesn't mean, and some ways that would need to be dealt with if they wanted something to be looked at differently. So they have given us direction to go back with the legal team and to talk about what some of those options in more detail can and cannot be, and what the legal ramifications of those things, what are the aesthetic ramifications of those items. And we will go back and give a report to them at that time, and then they'll give us further direction. But I bring that up to the planning commissioners because it not only came to you last year, but it's entirely possible that we might be coming back for additional direction and with some more specific direction from council in the coming months. So it could include something of additional design criteria, or just more feedback that they want from the Planning Commission in order for them to chew on what type of decision they would like to take as the council. So
so are you saying that the things we discussed, and then it went on to council, then the letters went out, nothing has changed in those 22 spots?
There has not been any change in any way. Yeah, there
really?
Was just concern from those property owners and looking for some type of relief. Really what it came down to is that they did not want to have to remove the structures.
Because of financial or need or both?
Both, yeah. It was a wide array of feedback that they gave. And the council, I know, wanted to be as flexible as they can be, but they also fully understand that the code is there for a reason and that there are standards in a community for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They just asked us to take a deeper look at it, and I think that will definitely include some additional feedback from the Planning Commission at some future time. So we'll keep you updated on that one. It's just when we brought it back, I didn't want to get the look of, didn't we already talk about this?
Right.
Because we definitely did. That too, and then I'm sure you guys have noticed that the construction for the former pool area, what will be the splash pad, is underway right now. Demolition is completely done, so everything is leveled there, and they have the streets. They have been at traffic control there, I want to say, for about a week now. And they're starting construction activities. They anticipate that September, October will likely be the time that they're done there. We were hoping August, but unfortunately there was some delays that had to do with the company that is manufacturing the bathrooms. So they had some delays there, and it's been very challenging. A lot more construction activity going on right now, and as a result of that, we're seeing not only timelines get pushed out, but we're also seeing construction costs going up. So a lot of things that are going out to bid are coming back higher than what we anticipated they were going to be. That's a good problem to have as mm-hmm. far as for the economy, right, and for the items that are being built. Can definitely create some challenges for timeline and for project cost. But you always take the good with the bad. So that's where we are. I just wanted to give you an update on those items. You have any additional questions?
I have two.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I have one.
Okay.
You want to go first, Pete?
No, you go ahead. You were up first.
Okay, so why was Reed at that intersection? What was the justification, or why was it closed off? That turn by the Shell, I mean, what happened there that the city felt that they needed to eliminate the left turn?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. So over the years between PD, fire, and the property owners, actually that are right there, not only the Shell but some of the other adjacent property owners, we would get calls just about concerns of near misses.
Okay. I've been part of that. So
yeah.
I'm just saying.
Unfortunately, it was just one of those items. And the reason why it took so long to address was because typically when you do anything that is traffic control related, stop signs, stop lights, anything of that nature, you have to have data that shows it's called meeting warrants. You have to meet the warrants in order to do that. One of the things that is extremely frustrating about that is when you put up something that is safety related, mm-hmm. one of those warrants is, has there been fatalities, right? And so we had to really, really fight about, we want to be proactive. We know we have near misses there, and we don't want to have to say, well, now that someone has finally died, let's go ahead and address it. We knew that it was something that could result in a tragedy, and so we worked very hard to address it up front, but we had to fight a lot of the uphill establishment stuff mm-hmm. to get that done, but that we were finally able to address that, and that's exactly what it was there. Tried to engineer it, our city engineer tried to engineer it in a way that it was going to have the least amount of impact on travel there, but still accommodate the safety needs that we're just going to eliminate, you know, what could have ended up being a pretty ugly broadside type of accident.
Okay. And second, update on Reed. I saw that the signs are going up.
Yep, they are going up. So, yep. They had all of their bids and everything come back, so they'll be looking to award that one here in the very near future and to get underway. All of the undergrounding activity
is done.
You'll notice some of the poles are still up. They are still waiting, I believe, on Verizon Frontier, I think is who it is. But everybody else already has their stuff in.
Are you talking about the poles on the east side?
Correct.
So those are going to come down?
Yes, all the poles.
All the poles are coming down?
Yes, all the poles will come down.
There's going to be more lighting, like street lighting along the west side?
I honestly don't.
I was walking by there yesterday, and I saw a lot of, areas that you could put lights up.
Sure, sure.
Down Reed, by the college, it's dark.
I was just going to say you're on the college side,
on the west side. Yeah.
I honestly didn't look very closely at the plans in regards to lighting. I was more interested in the actual street and what they were going to do with the street there. So I couldn't answer that one, honestly, whether or not they're going to add in additional lighting. But I'd be happy to take a look at that and let you guys know.
No, I mean, it looks like it because it's about like maybe 100 feet there's
they have some
tubes that come out
yeah.
and then it looks like it looks like the electrical could come out and it's all like in the same line all the way down.
At the very least they pre-pipe
right.
for all of that. Whether that's going to happen with this project I don't know, but they definitely have it laid out so that when it gets to that point with development, everything's already there.
So,
otherwise you're just tearing up your street and doing
right
it.
So all the poles on the right hand side or on the east side are coming down.
They will eventually come down.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
As soon as the rest of the utilities are off.
Aesthetically it'll look nicer. So.
Undergrounding makes a huge difference on aesthetics. And I don't think a lot of people really notice until all of a sudden
it's
those
expensive.
Poles aren't there anymore. It is, yeah. It's expensive and it's very time consuming. But we have a city engineer who is very proactive and very good, and not only that, but he schedules things in the appropriate manner. I'm sure we've all been in those cities where you've seen, you just repaved that street. Why are you tearing
it
up?
Why are you doing
now?
It again?
Why are you doing it again?
And he's very, very conscious of that. Mm. So he does things in the right order.
I'm very happy with Frankwood, the way the construction, and I hope that one day all the major arteries in Reedy look like that with the lighting, the medians, and I mean, I just hope that there's more light. It's just, it looks really nice.
What we went through to get it, and it is beautiful.
It is beautiful, yeah. And I'm hoping
that was a long, drawn out thing.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Reed at some point, and Manning, and Danube, and Parley, all those could, you know, step it up. And I know, like, it's money and all that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of it's development driven, you know, and you got to have development to have the dollars in order to do that.
We take advantage of that, you know, like, hey, we're going to have a developer. Hey, why don't you pay for this?
Yep.
How far up is the repavement going north?
It will go up to just barely north of Aspen.
Or just
right before where the houses are supposed to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the developer would be responsible for that portion.
Parlier Avenue or up to Aspen?
Aspen.
So north of Parlier. So after those duplexes, that's Aspen right there?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right there.
Right after that, yeah.
Right. And then after that, the developer
said... It would pick up from
the houses that would go right there, the developer would pick that up.
Yep, that was all in their conditions of approval. We'd still have a little bit of a gap between that north and then up to South Avenue.
Right.
Right.
But that's Sun Pacific.
It is, yeah. Now, if any development ever happens there, that would be part of their conditions as well.
Awesome.
Yep.
Cool.
Anything else? No. Okay.
Don, why'd you keep on yelling? I'll be yelling. I've always thought about being tall.
I apologize.
That's okay. What?
I always keep my little note here.
Don,
because it escapes me.
He's been here only a couple hours.
That's true. He just landed from a whole nother, almost country.
You know, I should call you
vice chair.
VP. I'm going to call you VP from now on.
Don's not doing that.
One of the things that I don't understand, we worry about carports and stuff like that, but some of the major issues that are going on in the community and that our community is upset about is that we have houses that have lost their whatever, and we're not doing anything about the condition of the yards and the overgrown trees.
Yeah.
Now I have one in my neighborhood, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
The bank took it over, and they haven't touched that yard since those people moved out 6 or 7 weeks ago. So what is our code enforcers doing? As a matter of fact, I sent a letter through your department to go to the code enforcers. And nothing has happened. Or did I get a response on it also so that I could tell the people that are complaining to me what's going on?
Sure.
And one of them is at the end of Frankwood and Olson, right across the street where we're putting in new homes.
Mm-hmm.
It's that corner house right there. Mm-hmm. And then there's one, oh my God, I have to look at my address, but it's on... parallel to Frankwood, 2 or 3 yards in, there's a house on the right-hand side, on Church Street, I think it is, that has been empty for years. The trees are overgrown. I guess they've had some people try to stay there overnight and so on, but nobody's doing anything. And I wasn't the first one to complain about it. I understand this has been going on for a couple of years, and nobody's doing anything about it.
So what's the procedure on that?
Well, I mean, it definitely will feel like no one's doing anything about it, but I can guarantee you that our code enforcement is actively working on it. There's several properties in town, and the biggest issue that they have, there's no owner of record. So you have the former person passed away that was living there, and then there's no owner of record. The home was owned outright. And then you have to go through this very long, arduous process of being able to show how that is damaging the area and go through permission process to get it torn down.
I'm shocked it looks like that. It looks awful.
Yep. They pop up. They kind of sprinkle all over town.
Dead stuff, but it's really tall. And I'm thinking, really? I cannot believe that family let that happen.
Now, for those that do have owner of record, code enforcement, of course, reaches out to them, and they have their weed abatement letters and the warnings that they give. Anything that deals with private property issues, they try to give as much of the opportunity as they can for people to address it up front. But if it's damaging, becoming beyond even just the aesthetics, if it's becoming a health and public safety issue, mm-hmm. then that's when they'll actually start levying fines and those type of items. But it's challenging.
We're waiting too long. I'll tell you why. Because we just bought some properties, and we haven't even recorded a deed, and already we've got fines. Matter of fact, I just came back from Indiana, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Mm-hmm. We bought a bunch of properties over there, and we already have these things from the city.
Oh, yeah.
How come you haven't mowed the lawn? And they're fines. We haven't even had a chance to record the deeds yet.
No. And that would be some of the difference with California and some of the other states.
But it's ridiculous. I we concern ourselves about a lot of other things, but some of the stuff, we're not putting any manpower into it, I would say, because these two projects or two properties that I've been looking at have been going on for years, and that's what I've been told.
The one of Frankwood and Olson right now, Chief Isaac, our fire chief, he's been working on that one in order to go through the demolition process for, it's been at least 2 years.
There's a lot of red tape.
Oh, it's incredible. And that one will actually be going to council in one of their upcoming meetings for the final approval. I mean, it is incredible the amount of approvals that you have to go through outside of your own city before you can then even approach your local elected officials to say, okay, can we do this? And you pay for it. No one else pays for it.
The city will pay for the demolition and all the costs of...
Yep. All the legal costs associated with doing that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that can be done is that you can put, if you're a contractor, you can put a mechanics lien. So I know that there's several of those properties that have mechanic liens put on them for any work that they did and were not paid for. But as far as the city, I mean, that ends up being right out of the general fund is really what happens with that. It used to be, of course, you could use redevelopment dollars for that type of stuff. And it used to be addressed a little bit quicker because there was actually a pot of money that could assist with that. And when redevelopment went away, a lot of those dollars went with it.
And I apologize, I don't have the address here because I wasn't going to bring this up until I got the addresses. But I sent the addresses to your office, and it's the one on Church Street. Can you tell me anything about that? I think it's Church Street.
I'm not actually familiar with that one at all. But
I'll tell you who it belongs to. It belonged to somebody in the Rhodes family.
Okay.
And that's what everybody's upset about, because they feel that because it was a Rhodes property, they're letting them slide.
Mm. I can definitely reach out to our code enforcement.
And can you let me know
I'd be happy to.
Because, like I said, we answer to some of our members of the community.
Absolutely.
So without an answer, you know, how effective are we?
That was a question you wanted to ask?
What's that?
That was a question you wanted to ask? I should have let you go first.
Okay, is there any other business we need to conduct?
Futures.
Commissioners?
Futures. Future dates?
Page two. So right now, we have two scheduled for June 7th. There is a possibility that could be postponed to June 21st. I am waiting on a phone call from the applicants on that.
So the June 7th could possibly be moved to the 21st. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I would say it's more likely to be on June 7th. But there is that possibility. There's scheduling conflicts, so if the applicant can't be here, they need to let me know. If they want to postpone it, they'll let me know. So I'll try to provide an update on that tomorrow. But definitely not July 5th. I won't postpone it. We won't postpone it for that long. So.
Okay.
Because I've been asked to travel once a month now, so I want to make sure that I don't miss any of our meetings, so I've got to schedule it real carefully. And I know sometimes it just drops out. So, yeah. No.
Well, you have a vice.
It's the other way around. Yes, that's true. We have a vice. But I don't like missing.
She's going to start swinging.
I know. I'm going to go over here.
Guys should really take me seriously.
Is there, or maybe we can discuss this offline, but if there's a deadline of notice that you need for me, let me know that.
Okay. Well, I kind of build my own schedule, but now what's dictating my schedule is I'm going to try to visit properties that are being started or almost done. So And I prefer almost done because I want to see the final rehab of the properties before we lease them or try to flip them or whatever. So that's a timetable I'm going to use. Before I didn't have any timetable. Now I do. It's going to be a little tougher now. So we'll see.
We'll put Ron back.
I know we have other people that are very worthy of doing this job.
Yeah. Pick somebody else that isn't here today and you can pick one of them.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.